broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Liberty Roundtable Live. One of my favorite Christmas tunes. I love it. It's exciting. This is hour two of two, ladies and gentlemen. This is the broadcast for December the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two of two. Go, ladies and gentlemen. Merry Christmas to you, Kurt Crosby.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam, and Merry Christmas to you.
You're very welcome, and a Merry Christmas to Scott Bradley. Welcome back, sir.
I'm glad to hear your voices this morning. It's always good to visit with you guys and kind of start the day off right.
Amen to that. Well, speaking of starting the day off right, what about starting the day off wrong? Everybody's praising 41, but I have a problem with 41. He swore to uphold the supreme law of the land, but here's what his agenda was.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
By the way, there's no such thing as a credible United Nations, ladies and gentlemen. It seeks to violate the very sovereignty of our constitutional republic. And so I don't mean to attack George Bush when he's dead. Our prayers are with his family, but I've got to reject this idea that he was a great man. He literally swore an oath to the Constitution, but spent his life undermining that very oath. That has to be pointed out. Scott Bradley, you want to speak to this?
Well, I think we could take the entire hour that we've got, honestly, in reviewing the diabolical, and I don't think I overstate that, process that George H.W. Bush was involved in, from his skull and bones going forward through his China connections that ultimately cut the legs off from underneath any kind of free China movement. I mean, he picked on where John Marshall, George Marshall left off with a sellout of free China. I mean, the idea of the New World Order, I mean, he was a CIA director. They're not our friends normally. I mean, holy cow. I mean, the wars he got us into, it's just amazing. Of course, they always lionize people, but the establishment has a great deal of interest in fostering their ideas. And when they're dead, they can go into overdrive and put it on steroids. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not so sure that at any point in his life, I may be wrong, maybe in World War II, he really did take his oath to support and sustain the nation constitutionally seriously, but his business in government seemed to be the very antithesis of that.
And I get why the President of the United States would be generally kind to not make a big mountain out of this battle, but what President Trump should have said was, you know what, he was a great man to his family, and he was a great business leader in many ways. However, I have a concern about his behavior towards the supreme law of the land, and I have a problem with his oath. And this could have been an opportunity really to educate, not attack.
Well, there's no question, but you know what? It is just so shocking to me. I mean, we talk about some of this undermining into undermining the sovereignty of our nation, our constitution, and everything to to global governments, and of course the United Nations was heavily focused upon by George H.W. But honestly, you look at this USMCA, you know, the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, and literally and truthfully, it undermines the sovereignty of the United States. It becomes a regional arrangement under the United Nations. Trump is fostering that to the nth degree. His chief negotiator on that was a CFR guy that wrote it, and Richard Haass. The chair of the CFR said he thinks it's NAFTA plus 10 or 20%, plus he hopes it becomes the template for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I mean, holy cow.
Not to mention they found some details that was slipped in by Canada to promote the gay and lesbian agenda on a global stage. And if this becomes law, many people say that it supersedes the Constitution. I disagree with that, but they claim that it becomes part of the supreme law of the land. I disagree again. Any treaty or any agreement that circumvents the supreme law should be null and void. Nevertheless, if we're not very careful, that's what people believe, and that's the power and authority that it'll have before the courts. So we need to be very careful with this.
We not only have to be very careful, we have to reject it. What is absolutely shocking to me is Utah Senator Mike Lee has written a letter with 9 other Republican senators that are pushing the idea that the lame duck Congress that currently is sitting before the reseating of the new Congress in 2019 is pushing for this to be, it's not ratified because it is not a treaty, it's an agreement. And it should be considered as a treaty, but there's no way in the world that they'd get the 2/3 necessary to get the Senate to ratify it. But the point of the matter is, I believe that Mike Lee and his 9 buddies and anybody else who votes for this, including Mr. Trump, is in violation of their oath to uphold the United States Constitution when we see that this subverts the very clear wording of the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3, which says Congress shall have power to regulate commerce with foreign nations. And the new Free Trade Commission that's established under this so-called agreement, it basically can rewrite this agreement without congressional input, change our tariffs, the way we do business with foreign nations. It is absolutely appalling how they're shoveling out the door of the Constitution, and we have, quote-unquote, conservative Republicans that are standing forward in this, beating the drum that literally will shred part of our Constitution. It's appalling.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. On Mike Lee's website, he says, hey, I'll look closely at this trade agreement. Very political way to stay out of it, huh?
No. He wrote a letter. Him and 9 other senators wrote a letter asking for it to be...
No, I understand. I understand. But I'm saying if you go to his website, he has a very soft statement there that says, hey, I'll look into this thing.
Well, you know what? I think somebody ought to stand tall, take it on the chops. You know, you see these guys, for example, on the football field, but, you know, they're running down the line, they see a tackler coming, they step out of bounds so they can avoid the hit. I see you stand in bounds, take the hit, and be a man about it. I think that I'm just sick and tired of people that namby-pamby around things. Let's stand tall. Let's do the things that are right for the right reasons. Stand with principle. And let's not use euphemistic terms and weasel words. Maybe I got up on the wrong side of the bed today, guys. I don't know, but I just would like to see some of those at the head of our government that sit in our judgment seats stand forth with courage and faith and do the right thing.
All right, there you go. The reason I bring it up, though, is because the letter stands in contrast to what's on his website, so it's very hard to know where he really is, unless you dig, unless you study, unless you push to know what he's really saying. A lot of this gets very political, and it's very hard. I mean, it reminds me of Trump. I don't know where he stands on most of the issues.
Well, you know, I'm kind of one of those guys. I glory in plainness. I mean, and this stuff about speaking out of both sides of your mouth, or however they want to put it, with forked tongue, I mean, you know, you can go back to all those old terms that you might have heard when you were young and looking at some of the dealings of the white men and the Indians. But I'm telling you, We need people that speak with plainness, that glory in plainness, that stand forth and say, I took an oath to uphold the United States Constitution. I am going to uphold that oath. I am not going to weasel word my way out of this. Like Bill Clinton did back when he was a punk kid in college. He wanted to maintain his political viability by signing up for the RTC and then not doing the RTC, taking the exemption, going overseas. I mean, the guy was a weasel. He was from the beginning. And it's like, my gracious, they put him in as president. They could see what kind of guy this was. Well, I'll just use an example, guys. Some years ago, and this was back in 2012, when Orrin Hatch had just announced early in 2012 that he was going to run for another term in the Senate. Some very, very conservative Republican people met with me in a dinner meeting and said if I will do certain things, that they will provide literally hundreds of thousands of dollars for me to run against Orrin Hatch. And they wanted me to sign on to the agenda of a certain political movement that I knew the baseline principles. And I told people, I won't. If you want to continue this story when you get back from the...
And by the way, Ted Cruz joined Mike Lee in this letter. They say they want to really work closely with Trump to ensure that Congress has the votes to get this passed. But you got to dig to find one, right? Hold on, Scott. You got to dig to find it. It's interesting. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Yeah, it's hard to put a finger on some of these politicians. In many ways, they do a great job. In many ways, you're not sure where they stand. I'm struggling, and I see this letter that Scott Bradley's talking about, but when you type in Mike Lee or Senate Lee, whatever, and try to tie it to this trade agreement, there's not a whole lot, even though he was, what, one of the creators of this letter, right?
Well, absolutely, but here you brought up Ted Cruz just before this, said they'd locked arms on this thing or gone for it, buddy. You know, Ted Cruz's wife, Heidi, was the principal spokesperson for this North American Union movement that was going on when they were trying to push the Security and Prosperity Partnership back in 2005, when the Three Amigos, George Bush Jr. and Vicente Fox and Paul Martin, said they were going to create this security prosperity partnership that would lead to a North American Union. And, of course, Robert Passer of the CFR was a big spokesman, too. But the fact of the matter is that Heidi Cruz is, I mean, okay, you probably maybe heard of the movie if you didn't see it, that one, Sleeping with the Enemy. I don't know what the deal is with Cruz and his wife. Maybe they're both on political opposites on this thing, but it seems really strange to me that this revision of the North American Union approach, which, you know, the guy that's over the CFR thinks is kind of NAFTA on steroids, is got Cruz's signature on it as somebody that's pushing this thing, with his wife probably in the background saying, come on, honey, you got to get behind me on this thing.
Well, and here's what's interesting about this. You got the conservatives praising Donald Trump on the trade changes. Kind of an interesting dichotomy, to say the least, right?
But this agreement, it really, really undermines the United States sovereignty in its trade, its ability to do its own trade, to be its own person, if you will, or own nation, I guess I should say. It violates Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3. It creates a free trade commission that, if you read the chapters that are under that, it affects almost every aspect of American life when it comes to the trade issues, at least with these two other countries, and it may in fact affect the way we do business in the country. And it's interesting that St. George Tucker, he said the Constitution of the United States does not authorize Congress to regulate in any manner to interfere with the domestic commerce of any state. Well, they may be handing that over to an international unelected body of people that do not have our best interests in their hearts. I just can't imagine.
Here's the bottom line. It's very easy to be deceived. At first, we had hoped that this thing might be better than, you know, NAFTA and stuff like that. It's turning out to be much worse. The gay and lesbian agenda is in it big time as well, and it'll force that international agenda down our throats. And you know what? While we turn our back on constitutional principles, law-abiding principles, God-ordained principles, hey man, the folks in Taiwan are voting differently than we are, to their credit, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And, you know, you look at that story, I doubt that Scott's aware of it, but they were quite concerned about this whole thing there in Taiwan. And, well, they voted against it.
Against what? No one knows what you're talking about.
Well, tell them the headline.
Against
sure
same-sex
marriage.
In front of
it. Yeah. So that's what we were just talking about, wasn't it? So
yeah, I just
want to
make sure people are clear.
That.
So the voters are voting against same-sex marriage. They're not voting against the trade agreement. They don't have one with Mexico and Canada. But they are voting against same-sex marriage, and we didn't do that, really, Scott.
Well, you're absolutely right. What actually happened, and by the way, this is another indictment against another Utah senator, at least he hasn't been sworn in yet, but Mr. Mitt Romney, as governor of Massachusetts, became the godfather of same-sex marriage in this country, because when the Massachusetts Supreme Court remanded, they didn't. Okay, you know, that, what they did is they handed it back and said, hey, this idea of same-sex marriage is something we don't have the authority to do anything on. We think that the Massachusetts legislature should take this matter up. They handed it back to them. In that, with that crack under the door, if you will, Mitt Romney says, by authority of being executive of the state of Massachusetts, I am thereby creating law that says same-sex marriage is legal in Massachusetts. Go back and read the accounts, folks. The fact of the matter is, by fiat, executive order, not by anything created by the legislature, not by demand of the courts, nothing whatsoever happened. He basically said, this is the new law of the land in Massachusetts. And from there, we see where this has gone. And Utah just elected him senator to take the place of Orrin Hatch.
Yeah, it's certainly rough, but I commend the Taiwanese for their vote. Taiwan voters reject same-sex marriage. You got to give them credit, and you got to highlight, hey, there are nations and people that are trying to do a difference. And it reminds me back in the days when the United Nations was discussing destroying and betraying the family. and Richard, oh, I don't have his name in front of me, but a BYU professor.
Richard Wilkins.
Yeah. He basically stood up and found himself in Istanbul speaking out in clear defense of the God-ordained family, and most nations rushed to his defense and said, we're so grateful for your leadership on this. Go ahead.
And by the way, Scott, this this headline from comes to us from the CatholicNewsAgency.com. You don't hear them promoted too much, but that's where this headline, Taiwan voters reject same-sex marriage. And basically what you had there was the people had voted to support one man, one woman marriage, and then some out-of-control judge just said, hey, no, that's not going to happen. And yet the people's representatives have now said, yes, it is, and we're going to support traditional marriage.
Well, and the interesting thing is, that's good. You got to count on, and I appreciate the Catholics, don't get me wrong, I commend them.
Yeah.
But what I'm wondering is, why the heck, this should be international news, folks. Right?
Well, it is if you just dig way deep, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Where's the mainstream press?
The Catholic News Agency does have a very broad, I mean, they've got a large reporting system with their satellite systems and their everything like that. And if you really kind of go into that, you find some of these things that are not mainstream acceptable kind of thing. I mean, you look at pro-life things on there, for crying out loud, and you go, holy cow. There are people out there that are speaking out on behalf of the unborn and on behalf of traditional marriage and so on. And so we've got to give credit where credit's due, I think.
And we got to realize that good for the Taiwanese, though. I mean, they got a battle, but they're standing up. I wish America would have stood up like Roy Moore in Alabama. That state was the only state to really give a challenge.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. China has come up a couple of times in our little get-together this morning. And going back to 1945 and the sellout by George Marshall and the State Department to Chiang, Chiang Kai-shek was our ally in World War II, and how Mao Zedong was just really a pain in every way, shape, and form, and with his communists and everything, and how the United States backed the communists. We put the communists in power in China. Taiwan, well, they escaped offshore there to their little island, Formosa, and then we sold them out in the United Nations when they had their seat at the table, you know, there. I mean, I know I don't want to build the United Nations at all, but we as a country in every way, shape, or form has turned our back on liberty in Asia. And George H.W. Bush was a big player in every action of that. Well, he wasn't there with George Marshall, but, you know, as he came into power in government and basically took the reins of government as the President of the United States, he was seeking a new world order. It's that piece that you played earlier, Sam. And China has been sold out. They are evidence of what the United States does when it gets a chance to stand with the global socialism of communism. Holy cow.
The one thing that George H.W. Bush did bring us that is pretty interesting is the read my lips, no new taxes thing, and that, you know, came back to bite him pretty well. The only thing is, instead of getting him, we got Bill Clinton. So, I mean, it was like from the frying pan to the fire, you know.
That brings something else to mind, you guys. And remember that anonymous letter a few months ago that was published of the in this Wall Street Journal about the people that were saying they were resisting Trump, and they didn't say they were the deep state; they were the steady state. Do you remember the term? I truly believe that in their minds, the steady state is the inextricably forward-going movement to merge us into a new world order that subverts the United States Constitution. That has steadily been coming forward. I mean, and you, Kurt, you bring up the George H.W. Bush versus the Bill Clinton. Well, come see, come saw. I mean, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other in terms of the true long-term outcome. They may have had a different approach to things. They held their mouth different and so on, but the steady state was continuing forward. Sounds like we got to take another break. Holy cow.
Time flies when you're having fun, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Riding shotgun today, Scott Bradley, To Preserve the Nation. He's the author of that incredible book and homeschool series. I'm just telling you, great stuff. He also does webinars. We'll talk about those, too, weekly. Talking about the supreme law of the land and the founding fathers.
Exposing corruption.
Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
My opponent won't rule out raising taxes, but I will, and the Congress will push me to raise taxes, and I'll say no, and they'll push, and I'll say no, and they'll push again, and I'll say to them, read my lips. No.
So much for that lie, huh, Kurt?
That's a great point, Sam. And, you know, that's one of the things that at least I'm grateful for what he... I mean, not that he went back on his word, but that he was semi-taught a lesson. But, man, I mean, when you got him or Bill Clinton to choose from, you know, like Scott said, six of one, half dozen of the other. But, hey...
All right.
Well, you know, that's kind of what happens in politics. We can throw the bums out, but keep the bums. I mean, the way that the establishment is right now, the people could say, oh, my golly, Bush lied to us. I'm going to put somebody else in. So they put Bill in. Well, it's one of those things, you throw the bums out, but you kept the same steady state that we were talking about before. It's an inextricable march towards the destruction of the sovereignty of this nation, subverting the Constitution, and ultimately and finally merging this into a new world order that Bush talked about. And by the way, back in 1993, I believe it was July of 1993, when the NAFTA, we're bringing this back. I mean, all of these are woven together as a tapestry. But back in 1993, in the L.A. Times, Henry Kissinger wrote a piece about the NAFTA agreement. He says it was the most creative movement towards the New World Order since the end of the Cold War. Now, he used the term, too. These guys, the insiders, they know what they're after. Now, what's interesting to me is I look at this new NAFTA agreement on steroids, the USMCA. I believe that Henry Kissinger, where he asked to, and he had the mental capacity nowadays, he would write another article that would say it is the most creative move towards a new world order since NAFTA. I think that this is the steady state of things. Regardless of who is in power, what party's in power, we've got to go back to the foundation, the Constitution, and its limited government checks and balances, separation of powers, all those kinds of things that we talk about, if we're going to restore this nation. If not, we're going to fall off the cliff one of these days, and I fear that it's sooner than later. I don't know.
Wow. It's hard to even understand. But I think it's true. And the question that we've got to discuss is, does Donald Trump know that he's marching toward this, or does he think that he's being patriotic? In other words, is he just led around by the nose, or is he really aware?
You know, I'm not accessible in his mind, okay? But he did speak vocally and very powerfully against this subverting to the world order, if you will, throughout his whole campaign. People elected him because they wanted to get rid of NAFTA and the Trans-Pacific Partnership and this establishment approach to things. And so the people spoke and they said, this is what we want. And, I mean, he won the presidency, fair and square, if you will, in spite of what everybody will say about NAFTA, I mean, about the Russian, you know, intervention and everything. I don't think anybody with any mind can say that really happened. And if anything, it was on Hillary's side. But having said all of that, he has so many of those insiders, like this Robert Lightseer, the guy that wrote this new USMCA, and many of his other people from Goldman Sachs. Well, in fact, here's an interesting thing. I saw an article, it was an article of First Huffington Post, I think it was, in October 1st, that talked about the Rose Garden announcement of this USMCA, and it brought out the fact that half of the people that were standing in back of Trump during that announcement had worked on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. They were part of the negotiation team that did that, and so they just kind of wove into this new USMCA, a kind of NAFTA on steroids, with the Trans-Pacific Partnership wording that we all found so repulsive to those of us that love our sovereignty. And so this is a holdover from Obama's negotiation team. But he had them negotiate. His trade representatives were the Obama negotiation team, largely. So, I mean, these kinds of things, really, he's got to recognize that he's got people inside his administration, I think, that are trying to deep six the message that the people wanted to have carried forward after his election.
All right, there you have it. You know, sadly, if he doesn't understand it, meaning Donald Trump, so much for the best negotiator in the world, he better get a grip on what's really happening and being negotiated. If he can't understand what's being negotiated, he can't be the greatest negotiator in the world. And if he does understand it, then he's certainly, sadly, not on the side of liberty. All right, let's talk about the real voter suppression. In 2018, it came from big tech, Kurt. Google employees are literally debating how they can shut down conservative media in their search, and they literally, if you believe the Creepy Line movie, they've literally tampered with elections. The only ones that have committed election fraud really is Google and some of the search engines and some of this big tech group. Kurt?
Well, it's exactly right. The Daily Caller's got this piece. Google employees debated burying conservative media in search. You know, and you wonder when you see a story like this, you wonder when somebody looks up, say, Scott Bradley's information or whatever, do they just get, you know, do they have to look like on page 20 of Google to find it? You know, how does that work? Here's some other sub-headlines that are part of this. Google employees debated whether to bury the Daily Caller and other conservative media outlets in the company's search function as a response to President Donald Trump's election. Let's make sure, this is a quote from Google Vice President, let's make sure that we reverse things in 4 years. That's what one engineer wrote. Google employees similarly sought to manipulate search results to combat Trump's travel ban. You know, so you got Daily Caller and Breitbart were specifically singled out as outlets to potentially bury, according to the communications. You know, I'm sure there's a lot more, but it's amazing, you know, that nobody really brings this up when they talk about manipulating elections.
Yeah, right? TheCreepyLying.com is a movie that really details this quite well. They did a whole lot more than just debate. And the only thing I don't like about this headline is it makes you sound like they debated and decided against it. The truth is way more sinister than that. What do you think about tech? Came from big tech, really the real voter suppression, Scott.
Well, you know, I think it's a real danger. I think that we are in danger of losing our vote. But I'll just give you two examples that come to mind, personal examples that I do not know where the subversion came from, but they did. I had 150 hour-and-a-half-long lectures on video posted on the Internet. Okay, do the math. That's a lot of lectures. We're talking a collegiate course on the foundation principles of this nation. 150 lectures, an hour and a half each. Poof, gone. Nobody knows where they are. Another example, and Sam, you remember this when with your syndicated radio group, I was doing a talk radio show, you know, a dozen years ago or 10 years ago, whatever it was. Anyway, I used to have, there was a guy I used to have regularly on that, he used to be kind of a mole with the Communist Party. I mean, he was an American that was against the Communist Party, but he worked within the inner bowels of the American Communist Party. He was very elusive, if you will. I could never post a picture of him. We had to kind of hide his identity. We used a fake name and all that kind of stuff when I'd interview him. Those things, when they were posted, were always noted as unsuitable for most audiences, and they ultimately and finally disappeared off of all of the sites. Now, I know you used to keep them on your site, but we had them posted on YouTube and stuff, too. But they all just, poof, gone again, too. The message that he had was really a terrifying message to what kind of threat America's under right now. And somebody just didn't care to have it there. And so it disappeared. So I know that a lot of the tech-based, you know, big-moneyed organizations just don't have a desire to bring forth the principles that this nation was founded on, uphold and sustain them. And somehow a lot of my stuff just disappears.
Don't worry about it. It's all good. Professors are getting hockey pucks, Kurt. It's okay, man. You got this fight, buddy.
I don't know if you heard about this, Scott, but instead of worrying about professors at schools having guns to, you know, protect themselves, now they're issuing hockey pucks, just to make sure they can protect themselves against tough times at school.
Sadly, a flake, meaning Jeff, senator of Arizona, he's a flake for sure, but he's true to form in his latest, what, lame duck votes? We'll tell you about that, too.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, really quick, brief people on Jeff Flake, then we'll move back to this media stuff, Kurt.
Well, Jeff Flake is basically, the Flake from Arizona. He's basically said he wants to kind of be the John McCain, and he is doing it. There's a judicial subcommittee basically in the Senate that basically any judges have to go through. It's been 11 Republicans and 10 Democrats. Well, he's number 11, and he said, look, unless somebody passes a bill that protects Robert Mueller and says that, nobody can fire him and let him just keep doing his stuff forever, I'm going to, vote with the Democrats to make sure no more judges get passed here. And so that's what he's doing.
You surprised, Scott?
Well, I've been kind of tracking this story, honestly. I am just appalled. He's like a spoiled brat. And what he's doing, literally and truthfully, is he's asking for something to happen that really couldn't happen, not constitutionally. He says we need to protect Mueller with some kind of congressional law that says this guy is hands off from everybody. Mueller is in the executive department. Crying out loud, if you read Article 2 of the Constitution, the president is the lead guy in the executive department. He has hiring and firing responsibilities. Mueller did not have the protection of anything that he might even possibly be able to bring up.
Yeah, but unless Donald Trump starts impeaching judges and literally standing up for his rights as the leader of the Justice Department and demanding accountability, nothing will happen, sir. It's all talk.
It's a true story, but Flake cannot get, he could not get it through the Senate and the House and get it signed by the president, the protection of Mueller. Now, I don't think Mueller's in danger of being fired. Honestly, I don't. I think right now Trump's saying, let it play out. I mean, it's been a year and a half plus, and what they've got is a bunch of peripheral things that have zero to do with any of the things that he thought he was being called and charged with. And I think right now it would be unfortunate for Trump to in any way, shape, or form end that. I think he ought to let it die an ignominious death and move on. But the thing that Flake is trying to do, he's blocking judges for something that he and the Senate and the House would have no power to do, had have no inclination to do, and could not get through with over the president's veto if he wanted to, and no constitutional standing of it. And he is just an ignorant, spoiled brat that's trying to make political hay out of something that there's no hay to be made.
Understood, but it's a lame duck, and it's a way to basically thumb his nose at the Donald, and there you have it. All right, let's talk about how Trump's bashing of the New York Times and CNN. I've mentioned this. I've said this from the start, and people didn't believe me, but they're seeing more evidence of it. Look, the mainstream press acts like they hate the Donald, and the Donald acts like he hates the mainstream press. But it's a quid pro quo, in my humble opinion, to promote them all, Kurt.
Well, I agree. And, you know, that's this source of this piece is France24.com. So you're not going to, you know, hear much about it here in America. But, you know, that's what they point out, Sam, what you've been pointing out for a long time, that, look, this helps everybody. You know, it's the good cop, bad cop routine. You know, the New York Times is against Mr. Trump, and then, you know, Mr. Trump's against the New York Times, so then what they report, you know, the France24.com guys, is that the New York Times got a whole bunch of new subscribers because of it. And then the same thing with CNN, you know, and yet, you know, what we would suggest to President Trump, if he's really serious about, you know, going to media that would treat him properly, is look to folks like us and our friends instead of our enemies.
Well, what he could do is he could just say, I'm giving back Jim Acosta's press pass, and I just gave Sam Bushman a press pass, too. All's fair in love and war. And there you go. But see, Donald's not doing that at all. And that's kind of the point, is that Trump's bashing. Look, he's not suing anybody. He's not. Now, Jerome Corsi's suing the New York Times. Jerome Corsi's suing the Justice Department. Good for him. But Donald isn't doing that. He just talks about it. He doesn't really do any of it. But there is a guy by the name of Stephen Andrew, and he's aiming to replace Facebook and Google with a new service called USA.life. At least somebody's doing something, Kurt.
Well, yeah, you've been suggesting this for a long time. Instead of talking about it, people ought to do something. And this guy, you know, according to WorldNet Daily, that's what he's doing. Stephen Andrew once he saw Facebook block millions of people from getting his posts, kind of like Scott was saying about his stories and things, he decided to use his Silicon Valley leadership skills to start a new social network that allows people to speak freely about life, liberty, and happiness. A new site is called USA.life. And it's pro-American. Did you know about this, Sam?
Nope. But I think it's wonderful news.
Yeah.
I dig it. I'm all for everybody's efforts. See, look, I'm not saying I've done a lot. I'm just a little guy. But you know what? I've started a media service of my own, doing my best to follow through with what I say ought to be done. And I commend others for doing the same.
I guess he's also building a search engine called 1776free.com. He calls this America's new search engine. He's working to provide better results than Google. Users will get President Trump, conservative, and Christian real news that Google hides, he said. Well, that sure sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, there you go.
I guess there's a crowdfunding page for it. And I'm just checking that. But anyway, they say they got a goal of 778,000. They brought in about a third of it, 235,000 plus. So anyway, they're moving ahead there.
Yeah, what do you say to that?
Well, you know, I go back always to the tradition of the Founding Fathers, the original intent, all that kind of stuff. And the First Amendment, literally and truthfully, was to preserve the blessings of liberty. And I've said this before on your program, it had nothing to do with pornography, nude dancing, or profane language. The idea of freedom of the press and assembly and the idea of speech and petition and all this kind of stuff was to preserve our liberty, to bring forth and foster an understanding among the people, the ideas of liberty. And when anybody saw that there was an encroachment upon that, they would have the freedom to bring that forth without being shut down. Now, what's happened is that there's been agenda-driven efforts to shut down those kind of things, and what they're fostering, based upon Supreme Court rulings, is pornography and all those kind of things, is something that the First Amendment allows. It does not allow anything of that sort. It has everything to do with preserving our liberty. The Founding Fathers did not have the perverse rulings in mind, the concepts in mind that are currently made popular in the legislation and then in the courts, they wanted a media that would be a watchdog, if you will, of anybody encroaching. And when, even as early as John Adams, they tried to shut down speaking against the government, guys like James Madison and Thomas Jefferson came out of their chairs and said, hold it. We're not going to stand for this. And that's where the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions came from, to try and say, you know what, they can say things that are in opposition to us as part of being American, and that's part of the First Amendment. But today, the big media guys, the ones that are controlling everything, they are abrogating the First Amendment by just unilaterally deciding, we're gonna put this deep six, bury it, if you will, and we're going to foster this other perverse stuff. It's high time that something like that we brought forward again. I'd like to see it succeed.
Amen to that. I just emailed them, Kurt. I just went on their website, usa.life, and I submitted a contact us and said radio interview request. So hopefully they'll get back to us and we can help. They say, thank you for your interest in usa.life. Thanks for contacting us. Anyway, they say, if you already haven't done this, consider this, sign up for a membership, shipping in $10 a month and the crowdfunding to help save your privacy on the internet. USA.life. USA.life is America's new social network. It is the answer to Facebook and Twitter censoring Christians, conservatives, patriotic speech, family values, and liberty. This is where we share life, liberty, and happiness and connect with people important to you. I dig it, and I want to help all I can. So we basically mentioned that because it is somebody doing something for solutions, and maybe the guy's a Liberty Roundtable Live listener, and he just heard what I said, that we got to get involved. I've done my best with my little radio network. I wish I had more money. I wish I could promote it more. But you know what? This is not a competition between me and this USA.life guy. We're all working together for the sacred cause of liberty, and I support all that he's doing. I want to learn more about it and help all that I can. By the way, there's an anonymous do-gooder out there. I guess some guy's hanging out at a Vermont Walmart, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right, Sam. And I mean, I love hearing these stories, especially at this time of year. But this guy basically, went, and what happened is he said, hey, any of these people with layaway items that aren't paid for, he offered to pay for all outstanding layaway items. This is a cool story. Anonymous do-gooder pays for all layaway items at Vermont Walmart. Customer Julianne Gates was at the store with her son when she heard the stranger make his offer. She was in line to pay for her items when the man who introduced himself as Chris Kringle gave her some stunning instructions. He said, listen, I can either have you put it on a layaway, and I'm going to pay for it when you leave. You'll just have to come right back and pick it up, or you could follow me over to the cash register and I pay for it now. She said, he told her, why don't you run and get what you were going to get and come back and I pay for it? I have a few minutes before I go to the doctor. When she asked her mysterious benefactor how anyone could afford to do that, he said, Santa Claus can. He says, I know personally is my Santa Claus. He is my Kris Kringle. I'll forever have his face embedded in my mind, she told ABC News. He's given so many people the opportunity, not worrying about Christmas, to just be with their families and not stress that maybe they can't afford it. Later, a spokesperson for Walmart said, when customers quietly pay off others' layaway items, we're reminded how good people can be. We're honored to be a small part of these random acts of kindness.
And what I wish Walmart would do would double down and say, you know what, we're going to match everybody's payoff across the nation. And I wish Donald Trump would then stand up and see that and tweet and say, me too. Ooh, I don't know about that. But anyway, he'd say, me too. And he could say, I went to my Walmart. My staff go to Walmarts and pay off layaways and help out. And, you know, we need to be very careful that people don't take advantage of this. But this is an act of kindness, and we need to pay it forward. Scott?
Santa Claus is coming to town.
I hope he is. What would our founders say to that, sir?
I think that they were always free will offerings. That's what America's all about. None of this forced stuff by government. Let's go with free will offerings.
Amen to that. Thank you, sir. Godspeed. Tell everybody where they can get your incredible webinars.
Just go to freedomsrisingsun.com, and we'll have information there about all of the different videos we've done lately and all that kind of stuff. And our webinars every Thursday night. We'll talk about that more next time, maybe.
He's on the radio with us on Mondays. Thursdays, he's doing webinars. You got Scott Bradley available, ladies and gentlemen. He ran for president on the Constitution Party, well, vice president on the Constitution Party ticket. Just doing a phenomenal job for the sacred cause of liberty. Thank you, sir. God save the Republic of the United States of America.